Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heather Sixth Sacrament meeting today. Our microphone is currently not working, so if those in the back would like to come closer, I will try to project my voice as much as possible. But we'd like to extend a warm welcome to all those that are visiting or here with us for the first time. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. Bishop Alan Misbach is presiding at this meeting, as asked that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct today. A few announcements to draw your attention to in the bulletin today. There we go. Wonderful. I'm going to start yelling with the mic on accident. It's going to be extra loud. A few announcements. One is today is our teaching councils today during the second and third hours. We are doing that each second Sunday of the month. So all those who have teaching callings or participate in teaching, please attend. Those are wonderful sessions to counsel together and become better teachers in the Savior's way, and all are invited to attend either the second or the third hour in the overflow today. We'd also like to thank all ward members for showing up at 1 p.m. today. The bishop was here at 9 to see who would show up, and nobody from the ward showed up at 9, so the word got out well, and thank you for everyone for coming today at 1 o'clock today. We'd also like to draw your attention to Ward Youth Conference that's going to be this Saturday, all day, starting at 8:30 to 6:30, and like to especially thank all those in the ward who have volunteered to give new experiences to the youth. I know a lot to most of those have happened, and it's a wonderful activity the Hollands have planned, and I know it's been a really impactful experience for the youth that have had an opportunity to participate in those new experiences and draw the ward closer together. Finally, also, we will be having our ward social on August 23rd, which is a Wednesday, in 2 Wednesdays from now. That's the first Wednesday after school starts in lieu of mutual, at 6:30 at the pavilion outside, and we'll be grilling burgers and hot dogs. And I know last year it was a wonderful come together for the ward and a wonderful activity. So we'd encourage all. We'd encourage each member to bring a side dish or dessert to share, and we'll be supplying the meat, buns, and condiments as a ward. We do have some ward business to conduct today. The following member has been released from her calling. We propose that she be given a vote of thanks for her service. Sister Claudia Reed as Relief Society Visiting Teaching Coordinator. Those who wish to express their appreciation may manifest it by the uplifted hand. The following members have been called to new callings, and we propose that they be sustained. Will the following please stand if they are present? Rick and Laura Francis as primary workers, Dixie Clifford as Scout Committee Chair, and Tammy Hill as Relief Society Visiting Teaching Coordinator. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may also manifest it. Thank you. The bishop has some item of business.
It's good to be with you, brothers and sisters. I don't know how many of you are praying for the microphone to start working, but I think prayers were answered. So thank you. Let me begin by inviting Jet Bigler to join me here at the podium. Yesterday was a wonderful day for Jet as she entered the waters of baptism. I'm glad we can see her. Thank you, Brother Roberts. So we want to recognize Jet and congratulate her on this wonderful day that she had yesterday, and for making the commitment, the covenant of baptism. And as you see her, be sure to congratulate her. Thank you so much, Jet. And let me take just another moment to mention we had this week the funeral for Lucy Boyajian. And I want to thank everyone who helped and all the preparations and all that happened to make that a wonderful funeral. And Brother Boyajian, I was speaking with him, and he wanted me to extend gratitude and asked if he could take just a moment to say just a word or two of thanks. So let me just give a moment of time to Brother Boyajian.
Friday was not a funeral, but in my book, it was a spiritual feast. And I want to thank every one of you for your kindness, everything, the goodness in you. I'll be eternally grateful. And I want to thank Suzanne, Peter, Chris Boyajian, the Bishop, President Anderson, President Evans, for their kind words. And most of all, I want to thank you, Emily, because your song that you sang touched my heart. You know, and the last time that, last Sunday, the priest brought sacrament to my wife. And then when they left, I said, don't come back next Sunday. I don't know why, but I told them that. So that was the last sacrament that she took while she was upon this earth. And that Sunday night, I watched a little bit KBYU until around 12:15. And then I said, well, I'm gonna go to sleep. So I check on my wife. I slept beside her on a chair. And I gave her medicine. And then I felt impressed to give her a blessing. I lay my hand upon her head and give her a blessing and released her from this earth. So I went to bed, I went to sleep, and I woke up around 3 o'clock and I check on her. And I was watching her. She was not moving, nothing, you know. And I touched her arms. Her arm was lukewarm. I said to myself, well, I think she's alive. And half hour later, I touched her again, and she was cold. I said, okay, she's gone. I called the nurse, she came and changed her, washed her, cleaned her up, and they picked her up around 10 o'clock that morning. Oh, I forgot to thank Karen Mitchell for being the pianist for Emily. Thank you, Karen. But she's better off where she is now. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your kind, everything you did for me and my family. I will never forget that. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to repay you, each one of us, each one of you. But I hope and pray that the Lord will help me, that in some fashion, I will be able to touch someone and help the best I can do it, you know. And so to sum that up, I want you to know that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life. And this is a great blessing. I mean, the world has nothing to offer, nothing. If we don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ, we got nothing. And so to sum that up, I like to recite something here. So bear with me for a minute. We finished a chapter, and we turn another chapter, a new page on a new chapter. And this is my feeling now. It may not be on a mountain height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battlefront. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still, small voice he calls to path that I do not know, I will answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, and I will go where you want me to go. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus will have me speak. There may be now in the path of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. O Savior, if thou wilt be my guide to dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. There is surely somewhere a lowly place in earth's harvest field so wide where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all to thy tender care and knowing thou lovest me, I do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over the mountains or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Brother Bryajan. Our first speaker today will be Brother Cameron Mulford. He will be followed by Sister Aspen Hainsworth. We will then have a special musical number of the Young Family and Linda Anderson singing Children All Over the World. And then our concluding speaker will be Brother Britton Hainsworth. Brother Mulford.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Bear with me, I'm a little nervous, but we'll get through this. My topic for today was As I Have Loved You. And I'm going to start off by reading a story from Thomas S. Monson in the Ensign of February. One sec. Some years ago, a friend named Lois related to me a tender account about his gentle, soft-spoken mother. When she passed away, she left her son and daughters no fortune or finance, but rather a heritage of wealth, an example, and sacrifice in obedience. As the funeral had been spoken and sad trek to the cemetery had been made, the grown family sorted through the poor possessions the mother had left. Among them, Lewis discovered a note and a key. The note instructed, "In the corner bedroom in the bottom drawer of my dresser is a tiny box. It contains the treasure of my heart. This key will open the box." All wondered what their mother had of significant value to place under the lock and key. The box was removed from its rested place and opened carefully with the aid of the key. As Lewis and the others examined the contents of the box, they found an individual photo of each child with the child's name and date of birth. Lewis then pulled out a handmade Valentine in crude childlike penmanship, which he recognized as his own. He read the words he had written 60 years before. "Dear Mother, I love you." That story touched my heart, and it was very inspiring. The mother knew what was really important, and she didn't have much, but she knew that charity and loving others was more important than any of that stuff. And this reminded me of a scripture that I want to read to you. It's Moroni 7:46-47. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. I like this verse because, like, it relates to the story, and it says that if we don't have charity, we won't have anything. So, like, being rich or that kind of stuff doesn't matter. The Lord just wants us to have charity. So I would just like to end, and I'm going to bear my testimony. I know that we need to all love each other, like Thomas S. Monson says and the scripture says, and we need to be like Christ and not worry about the worldly things as much. And I know it's hard sometimes, and I like to say things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good afternoon. So my name is Aspen Hainsworth, and this is my husband, Britton. We just moved into the ward like a month ago, and we just got married like a month ago. So we're excited to be in this family ward. We're glad to move on from the YSA wards. And we're also excited for a new calling in the nursery. So we'll get to know your younger ones. We're excited for that. And so we are both just going to school and working right now. And he's from Linden. I'm from St. George. So if his name sounds familiar, you probably know his family. So you can ask him about that. I'm sure he'll love that. But today my topic is holiness. And when I was thinking about this topic, I didn't really know where to start because I feel like there's so many different ways you can think about the topic of holiness. And I was talking to my husband, and he was like, just think of some questions that you've had about holiness or about what it is or how you see it in people and try to answer those with the help of scriptures and praying and study and then share those with, like, in your talk. Because if you have questions about it, I'm sure some people will have questions too. And so that has really helped me think about holiness more in depth. And the first question I had about holiness was like, how like can I become more holy? But also like, how do I see that in others? And like, if I was thinking of a holy person, like what would I think of? And so asking myself that question, I thought of a person in my life, and I thought of a few, but for the sake of time, I'll just describe one of them. And this person was my stake president, who set me apart to be a missionary. And I remember the first time we went to go meet with him before going on a mission, I was so nervous because I like didn't know him. I didn't think he knew me. And I was like, why do I have to go talk to this man? Like, what is he gonna say? But I remember walking into his office and just feeling like this overwhelming peace come across me. And I was still like, I felt nervous, but as he started talking to me and I started talking to him, I could just like feel this love and holiness like coming from him. And it was just amazing. Like I knew that he cared about me and he cared about the gospel and he cared about our Savior. And like I felt like I needed to respect him. I felt like I wanted to care about him too. And I think that as we look for holiness, and I think holiness goes really closely with like sacredness and love, as we look for those things in others and we like recognize them, we can be able to like take those characteristics and build them up in ourselves. And so the basis of my talk is from The Beauty of Holiness by Carol F. McConkie from this past women's conference. And her talk was amazing. It was about becoming holy as our Savior and our Heavenly Father is holy, which sounds like a very big goal, and it is. But I'm glad that in this talk she helped us realize maybe like smaller steps that we could take. And she describes holiness as this. It says, holiness is in the striving and in the struggle to keep the commandments and to honor the covenants we have made with God. Holiness is making the choices that will keep the Holy Ghost as our guide. Holiness is setting aside our natural tendencies and becoming a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord. Every moment of our lives must be holiness to the Lord. And that last part, talking about every moment, I was thinking about like, okay, yeah, as a missionary, I saw how that was possible, but like, what about now? we have to like go to school, go to work, take care of children, clean the toilets, you know, like all these different things. Like, how can every moment of our lives be like this? But thinking more about it, just knowing that maybe every second doesn't have to be like totally focused on God, like consciously, but having like little moments throughout the day where you just take a step back and being able to feel those little moments of sanctification through our lives, whether it's like having a little prayer or just thinking about just the love of our Savior, and knowing that to be holy, we need to give ourselves wholly unto God. And throughout her talk, Sister McConkie, she really focuses on covenants and the temple, and showing us that being holy isn't just like repenting when we make mistakes, but it's action, it's making the covenants, it's keeping the covenants. And through those small actions, we can become holy every day. And another thing I really love that she explained was that holiness is a gift of the Spirit. And we accept this gift when we choose to do those things that will increase the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And in Preach My Gospel, it tells us that spiritual gifts come by prayer, faith, and works according to God's will. And just knowing that, like, because I guess I never thought of holiness being a spiritual gift before, but knowing that now, like, I can act, I can pray for that. And in my Preach My Gospel, by that quote, I had just a little something I wrote by it. It said, I cannot force spiritual things, I have to have patience. I think that's something maybe, well, I know that I struggle with, but maybe more of us do, just knowing that it doesn't always come when we want it. We don't always get to, like, just make the Spirit, like, happen in our lives in the moments that we want. But as we have patience and we keep moving forward, keep seeking this holiness in our lives, that we'll be able to feel those feelings eventually and be able to have those testimonies created and our conversion strengthened. And what I've come to know about holiness is that I need it. I need it every day, and it's something that helps keep me going, as just like little moments that I can recognize my Savior in my life is pretty much what it is. And I know that as you become more holy, you'll be able to see that in yourself, and people will be able to see that in you as well, and they'll want to follow your example, just as our Savior Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of holiness. And just one last quote by Bonnie D. Parkins. She was a past General Relief Society president. She says, holiness is a product of covenant living. Holiness prompts the words, here I am, send me. And again, I know these things to be true, and I know that our Savior cares about us and has provided each of us a way to become more holy as he is holy. And he's not going to leave us in the dark. He's going to help us in this life and with our families. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'll try not to ruin that spirit too much. So yeah, Aspen kind of introduced me. I'm Britton Hainsworth. My family's from Linden. So I just kind of moved down the street here. I've been living in Provo for a few years, but I'm at UVU studying graphic design. See where that takes me, and working right now. So just kind of, you know, doing the normal things. And like she said, we're very excited to be here in the ward. Excited to be able to contribute in any way we can and to get to know all of everybody here. So feel free to come talk to us and we'll come try to talk to you. So I'm gonna start off my talk today with a story that hopefully sounds a little familiar. It's from last conference. And it's a quote from David O. McKay during one of his travels. He was on a boat. And this is kind of him describing what he saw on this boat. He says, "Towards the evening, the reflection of the afterglow of a beautiful sunset was most splendid. The sky was tinged with pink, and the clouds lingering around the horizon were fringed with various hues of crimson and orange, while the peaceful surface, while the heavy cloud further on the west was somber purple and black. These various colors cast varying shadows on the peaceful surface of the water. Those from the cloud were very long and dark. Those from the crimson-tinged sky, clear but rose-tinted and fading into a faint pink that merged into the clear blue of the ocean. Gradually, the shadows became deeper and heavier, then all merged into a beautiful calm twilight that made the sea look like a great mirror upon which fell the faint light of the crescent moon." So he's kind of describing this beautiful sunset. You know, I love the way he describes that. He says, "Pondering still upon this beautiful scene, I lay in my berth at 10 o'clock that night and thought to myself, charming as it is, it doesn't stir my soul with emotion as do the innocent lives of children and the sublime characters of loved ones and friends. Their beauty, unselfishness, and heroism are after all, the most glorious." So after like seeing this beautiful sunset, you know, like how much that can kind of stir your soul. He kind of recognizes that it's still not as beautiful and powerful as the feelings of the people around him. And then he goes on. He says, "I then fell asleep and beheld in vision." This is the part that's quoted in the talk. So hopefully this kind of rings a bell. "I beheld in vision something infinitely sublime. In the distance, I beheld a beautiful white city, though far away, yet I seemed to realize that the trees with luscious fruit, shrubbery with gorgeous tinted leaves, and flowers in perfect bloom abounded everywhere. The clear sky above seemed to reflect those beautiful shades of color. Then I saw a concourse of people approaching the city. Each one wore a white flowing robe. Instantly, my attention seemed centered upon their leader, and though I could only see the profile of his features and his body, I recognized him once as my savior. The tint and radiance of his countenance were glorious to behold. There was a peace about him which seemed sublime. It was divine. The city I understood was his. It was the city eternal, and the people following him were to abide there in peace and eternal happiness. But who were they? As if the Savior read my thoughts, he answered by pointing to a semicircle that appeared above them and on which were written in gold the words, 'These are they who have overcome the world, who have truly been born again.'" So David O. McKay has this vision, this dream, where he beholds this beautiful city. And, you know, I feel like in a way it kind of is kind of like how I envision heaven, you know, kind of our eternal goal. Being able to live with the Savior in this beautiful, beautiful city, this beautiful place. And I love the way that's illustrated by the Savior, who these people are. They're the people who have overcome the world. And so kind of the key word, the thing that I really want to focus on, hopefully not for too long as we're getting close here, I want to get across the meaning of this word overcome, what it means to overcome the world. So the world, we always kind of talk about the world. It's kind of something that the scriptures refer to a lot. I'm going to kind of refer to the world as physical things, not even bad things, but just physical things around us. We're in this world where everything is something you see or something you touch. You know, like objects. And then to God, there's only spiritual things. You know, when we die, when we move on to the next life, we don't take any physical things with us. It's the things that really matter. It's things like the souls of the people around us, you know, relationships and knowledge. You know, these lasting, like less tangible things in our lives. And I guess when I think about people that are able to make it to heaven, or people that are like Christ, they're people that have no desire for these physical things. You know, they only desire spiritual things. You know, they live here on earth with this physical body, yet they only desire spiritual things. But there's actually a big difference. If you think about the way we were before we came to earth, we were living in heaven, and we really didn't have any desire for spiritual things. We didn't have physical bodies. You know, we weren't surrounded by physical things, and so we didn't desire those things like we do now. There's a lot of distractions in today's world. It's easy to want to desire those things. It's one of the biggest tricks of Satan. But yet, before our lives, we weren't able to become like Christ. You know, even though we had no desire for physical things, we hadn't yet overcome the world. We had simply not experienced the world. You know, we didn't desire, not out of our own will, but because we just simply had never experienced that. Hopefully I'm kind of getting that across. And so that's kind of like the most important thing we can do in this life. Like kind of what we're doing here on earth is becoming spiritually minded, becoming a spiritual person, even though we're in a physical body, even though we're on a physical earth. We're surrounded by these physical things. I'll just kind of skip that. So in this talk, he gives four different points to kind of like help us in this life to learn how to overcome the world, because it's kind of this big vague thing that we have to do, overcome the world. So to kind of get us started, he says first we have to, of course, develop faith. We have to develop faith not in just like spiritual things, but in Christ, the actual being Christ. And that allows us to know that he really does exist, that we have a purpose here, that there actually is spiritual things beyond this physical world that we see. And as we develop that faith, number two, we become accountable to Christ. We become accountable to God. Even though we can't see God, like I've never personally, physically seen God with my own eyes, we can still become accountable to him as we develop faith. And that's one of the most important things, because it drives us to want to overcome these distractions around us. As we become accountable, we realize that we need to love those around us, which is number three. We become unselfish. We become selfless, like Christ is. We begin to develop these spiritual relationships with those around us. We develop love. And then kind of a daily thing, or a thing that can really apply to us right now, is number four, which is safety in the prophets. We have prophets around us that are actually giving us things to overcome the distractions of today, not just like the distractions of thousands of years ago or general sins to overcome, but there's all kinds of things that the prophets are giving us to help us to overcome the physical world today. And so this like overcoming can come in a lot of different ways for all of us. We all have different things to overcome. And as I was kind of thinking about people in my life or things in my life that I felt like I needed to overcome, what came to mind was kind of an obvious one, but my grandmother. Grandmas have this way of just, you know, being a big part of your heart. They love you a lot, or at least mine does. And my grandma has been through a lot in life. You know, life throws a lot your way throughout the course of your whole life. And, you know, when her husband was alive, she traveled to Tonga. He was a mission president there. She was his companion out there while he was in Tonga. You know, they took their whole family out there. She had to raise a family in who knows what kind of living conditions in Tonga. They went through all kinds of hardship together, and eventually my grandfather got sick and died of cancer. And, you know, I was there when that happened. She was sitting by his bedside. They kind of had an incredible relationship where she really was reliant upon my grandfather. But anyways, this kind of rocked her world. You know, this changed her life completely. They've been married for 50 years, you know, so. And ever since that day, this was several years ago, ever since that day, she's kind of slowly, you know, physically degraded. But the thing that, the reason that I bring her up, as it pertains to overcoming the world, is that throughout this physical degradation that I've seen come into my grandma's life ever since her husband passed, she's never stopped loving those around her. She's never stopped doing all she can to bless the lives around her. She truly recognized what was important in her life. And even though it's extremely painful for her to walk, extremely painful for her to do anything, and sometimes it's hard for her to think clearly and you know, whatever comes her way. Even on my mission, she would make this, like, the classic banana bread that she always made. She would send it to me on my mission, and I knew, like, how much work that had to be for her to do that for me. And she's just been an incredible example to me of someone who, you know, had all these things come her way, these physical ailments, these physical distractions in her life, and yet she was able to keep spiritually minded, remember what was important in her life. And for me, you know, I feel like I haven't had to go through a whole lot in life yet. I'm still pretty young, and I'm sure things will come my way, but we all have different distractions in our life. And so something I've chosen for myself to focus on that can kind of help me become more spiritually minded in my day, in my everyday life, to help me overcome this world that we live in. I'm going to try my best to focus on a talk every month, kind of make that talk from the previous conference something that I want to really become a part of my life. You know, take something, a point in that talk, and I really think that'll help me to overcome the general distractions of my life, whether it's work or school, technology, which is a big one for a lot of us. So hopefully that I can continue to develop those wonderful relationships around me, and especially the relationship with my Father in Heaven and the Savior. And so that's my invitation to you, is to pick something that you feel like will help you to overcome the world around you, to help you not become distracted in your everyday life. It's a really hard thing to do. And it's my testimony that the Savior truly has overcome the world. Because of that fact, we can as well. And there's incredible blessings, just like in this vision of David O. McKay's. Someday, if we truly can be one of those people that has overcome the world, overcome this physical world that we're in, that we can live with the Savior again, that through his atonement, which I truly know can help us as a true power in our lives, we can live with him again. We can live eternally happy just like he will. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'd like to thank our speakers for their good words of wisdom and for their participation today. Also, I'd like to thank Brother Graves and Sister Clifford for helping out with the music today. And then our benediction will be offered by Sister Kaylee Schoaf.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here on this Sunday. We are so grateful for the speakers and the spirit that we have felt this day. We're grateful to have President Monson and grateful for all that he does. We are so grateful for all of our blessings, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.